This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of BookCareers.com Live. Today, I'm going to talk about the BookCareers.com salary survey, as we've put out a call for questions for our next salary survey, which will hopefully launch on the 6th of June 2020. So this will be salary survey 2020, and I believe it's the 24th year, or it'd be 24th anniversary of when I first started collecting salary data. And things over the last 24 years as regards salaries have changed an awful lot. The first thing is we've got the fantastic book job transparency scheme, where we're pushing for publishers to advertise salaries with their vacancies, thanks to the amazing Aki Schultz of the Literary Consultancy for starting this initiative. But also, we've got publishers far more aware of the implications that low salary can have on employees, particularly at entry level. We saw that in the change between the average entry level salary between the 2013 salary survey to the 2017 salary survey, because between 2008 and 2013, the entry-level salary had only gone up, I think, about 2.2%. And between 2013, because the 2013 results gave quite a few publishers a kick up the backside, and 2017, it had gone up something like 17%. But I'm not here to talk about statistics today. What I really want to do is to talk about some of the questions that we ask and why we put out a call for questions. It's to ensure that we are representing the employment trends and the employment data of publishing today. So in the last survey, we retired a question. We stopped asking people about their marital status. It might seem an odd question to ask, but traditionally surveys always ask you about your marital status. But I looked at that in every single way, about whether people who were married got paid more, whether they worked fewer hours, whether they did more overtime, whether they were more stressed, less stressed. And quite frankly, there was no validity anywhere with the data. And also, it is a little bit of an imposition, perhaps a little bit of personal intrusion that I don't like to do. So we retired that question. We modified the question on gender to include not just male and female, but now I prefer not to say. I will look at whether we need to revise the wording of prefer not to say before the questionnaire is launched. And then we added in new questions such as the length of somebody's commute, the cost of their commute, and also whether somebody had a student loan and approximately how much money of that student loan was outstanding. We never broke those figures down in the actual final report. We mainly just used it as a gauge so that if somebody asked, a publisher asked or wanted to know, we had that information handy. We've been monitoring stress and bullying, I think, since 2008, if not before. We incorporate the TUC's standard questionnaire on stress and bullying as the final part of the survey. And last time we also asked people not just why they wanted to leave, but also for reasons why they wanted to stay in their publishing job. So we do look very carefully at how we can incorporate as much employment data and information that can be useful for any director of any publishing company in devising schemes to encourage their workforce to stay, motivate them within their job aside from salary, although salary is really important, and to ensure that they are being, their staff are being paid fairly. A good example of how the results from the Book Careers Salary Survey can be used to influence human resources strategy comes from one of these recent questions. If you ask anyone if they think they're underpaid for the work that they do, you would expect them to instantly say yes. However, the answers we received were fascinating and not the joke or throwaway answers that were expected. The responses, when analysed, show implications for every industry, not only the ones that have a history of low pay, like book publishing. What we actually asked was, honestly, do you think you are underpaid for the work that you do? If yes, by how much and why? From 2017, there were 1,023 valid respondents to our survey. 30.4% said no, they did not feel underpaid, and 69.6% said yes, honestly, they were underpaid. The majority of those 69.6 responses can be broken down into 8 different occurrences. And here they are. Number 1, that there were no pay reviews or that the pay review was poor. Even in tiny or underperforming companies, it is possible to ensure regular pay reviews and company performance pay-wide initiatives. Clear guidance should be given to an employee when joining the company as to when pay reviews happen, whether salary reviews are based on profits, inflation or merit, or a combination of all three. And as an employer, the employer needs to adhere to this. 2, the skills needed exceeded the salary. As an employer, are you demanding more of your workforce than before? Do certain roles now require different skills than 5 years ago? Even in competitive employment sectors, it is important that a company pays staff according to their skills and competences and not the lowest possible denominator, to ensure that it retains the best possible staff for its continued success. 3, that the responsibility or income generated far exceeded the salary. It's whether an employer is grading jobs correctly to the level of responsibility required. Has the employer reviewed the responsibilities that are involved in each role? And if the role is income generating or has an income generating or saving aspect, can this be incentivized in any way? 4, excessive workload or extra hours. If a company has made cutbacks or redundancies, have they monitored the full effect of these cutbacks? If the company is going through an expansion or merger, have you reviewed the workload of your employees? Stress, which is 5. Your company has a duty of care to reduce stress at every opportunity. Have you conducted a risk assessment to see whether any of the employees are currently subject to stress? And if so, what can you do to reduce this? Are you creating unnecessary stress on employees by setting unattainable goals or unreasonable deadlines? If there are elements of stress that go with the job, are you paying that role according to the stress level? 6. Knowing colleagues are paid far more for the same job. In the Book Careers Salary Survey, it shows that women are paid less than men. How does this happen? Your company needs a fair and equal pay structure for all members of staff. Also, it is often the staff that have been in companies longest whose pay devalues the most, particularly if they're only receiving inflation matching pay rises. Is this how your company rewards staff loyalty? Recruitment is so expensive. Why doesn't your employer invest in staff retention instead? 7. Pay is low compared to other competitors. What is your employer doing to monitor pay levels in your company? Or do they only find out about pay levels when they interview a new member of staff from a competitor for a new role? You might not be able to match the pay of your competitor, but what else as an employer can you do to add value to your employees' salaries? 8. The pay is low compared to other industries. This will always be constant in publishing, and the majority of time you are unable to do anything about this. However, if as an employer you are requiring skill sets and competencies or embarking on new projects such as publishing now needing the top range of digital skills, what are you doing in order to make working for you an attractive proposition? I hope that's given a good example of how one new question can influence so many things as regards salary. So if you have any thoughts about the questions that we ask, maybe you're a participant of a previous salary survey, or you are going to be approaching the salary survey for the first time, then please go to the Book Careers website and look for the blog post which says salary survey call for questions, and you can find a summary of all the previous questions that we've asked. One thing we do need to look at though this time is how we can incorporate those who are employed in service companies providing editorial, marketing and even publicity skills for major publishers into the survey without diluting the validity of our data. If anybody has any thoughts about this, we would be very grateful to hear from you. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.